You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, The Sin of White Lies. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Lies, lies, lies. These often emotionally charged words were printed boldly and in striking colors across the cover of a major U.S. magazine. In the lengthy article which followed, the joint authors tried to describe all the different types of lying that is going on today, including lies by politicians, lying salesmen, media personnel, husbands, wives, students, and others. The authors also referred to a book written by the wife of a previous president of Harvard University. Mrs. Bach wrote the book in 1978. This is over 20 years ago. At that time, she said that she thought that lying and deception were already quite widespread in our society. But now, she says, lying at every level of society has become much worse. This may indeed be the case, and one of the reasons that lying has become so acceptable is because everybody has their own definition of lying. For some today, the act of deception, which has traditionally been called lying, is shrugged off as nothing serious. Many say that lying is a harmless situation where someone has simply not told the complete truth. Others try to diminish the seriousness of lying by saying that lying is okay as long as nobody gets hurt. Now, all of these popular excuses for lying, and there are many, many more, clash directly with what the Bible teaches regarding the seriousness of lying. When Moses received the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai, the Lord made his will very, very clear. In one of these Ten Commandments, God states pointedly and simply, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." This commandment forbids any type of lying against anyone. For centuries, this command of God has not changed, and the seriousness with which God considers the sin of lying, even in our modern day, is demonstrated clearly in a striking event of the New Testament church. In the Bible, in the book of Acts, we read about the great and glorious acts of God which took place among the first Christians. We read, "And with great power the apostles were giving witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." Now, as these new believers became involved in the new life in Jesus Christ, their attitudes were changed dramatically. Many sold their personal possessions so that the money could be given to the poor and to the needy. In the book of Acts, we read that there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell their property and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet. The apostles would then distribute to each as any had need. But of course, wherever the Spirit of God is active, there is also the devil. The Bible then describes how Satan entered the hearts of some members of the early church. The devil led them into the sin of lying. Lying not only to other people, but also in attempting to deceive God. In Acts chapter 5, we read that a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. But then, instead of donating all the proceeds, this couple kept back some of the profit that they had made. Ananias did this with his wife's full knowledge, and Ananias, therefore, brought only a portion of the sale and laid it at the apostles' feet. The apostle Peter then said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did not this property remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it then that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now, when Ananias heard these striking words of judgment, the Bible explains that he fell down and breathed his last. He died, and great fear came upon all who heard of this. Young men arose and covered up this dead man's body, and they carried him out, and they buried him. Now, 3 hours later, the Bible explains that this man's wife, Sapphira, also came in. She did not know what had happened to her husband, and so the Apostle Peter said to Sapphira, "Tell me, whether you sold the land for such and such a price?" She said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "Why is it that you and your husband agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out as well." The woman then fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out also, and they buried her beside her husband. The Bible now explains that great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. These people understood very clearly that God meant what he said when he said, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." God does not always deal with people this directly, but ultimately all liars will receive God's terrible judgment. Today, lying is very common, and when a sin becomes common, it becomes familiar, even to Christians. And when a particular type of sin becomes familiar, it also becomes comfortable and casual. And this is why lying is so damnable. And of course, the sin of lying destroys relationships. It destroys relationships between friends, between family members, and between husbands and wives. But most of all, lying destroys the relationship between God and man. And so for this reason, in his grace, God has prepared an arrangement so that the power of sin and the terrible curse of the sin of lying might be overcome and the damage repaired and the relationship healed and restored. The Apostle John spoke directly concerning the response God expects of us when we sin. "If we say we have no sin," the Bible says, "we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us." Now let's recall briefly what we have discussed in the last few minutes. Led by such institutions as Time magazine, with its bold front cover headline screaming, "Lies, lies, lies," there is now a new awareness in our society that lying is becoming so common and so casual that for many, lying is no longer considered a sin. The Bible, however, states otherwise. In the Old Testament, in his Ten Commandments, God states clearly, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." In one of the very first scenes describing the life in the early New Testament church, Ananias and Sapphira lied. They were then struck dead without question. This historical record underlines one basic truth. God's judgment toward lying has never changed, and his anger toward deception has never diminished. In our private minds, or even in our society at large, lying may be becoming quite socially acceptable. But for God, lying is different. It is not socially acceptable. And this often comfortable sin is also potentially, eternally damnable. This is also the reason that the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God is so important. The devil is so clever that not one of us today can say that we have never lied or deceived others. And the Bible describes the seriousness of even one lie, one little white lie, when he says, "He who offends in one point is guilty of all." The increasing non-concern over lying is now deeply troubling, even to secular social experts. These specialists are not necessarily alarmed because they consider lying a sin, although they may also feel this way. These social leaders are concerned for another reason. These experts point out one basic fact, and that is this. Honesty is fundamental to society. People cannot live together if they cannot trust each other and what each other is saying. The problem with lying, then, from a purely secular point of view, is that lying tears apart and destabilizes society. All citizens, therefore, if they desire a better quality of life and a better environment in which to live and to raise their children, must begin to work together now to raise a red flag of warning about the true dangers of indiscriminate lying and outright falsification. This includes all seemingly harmless white lies. The more damaged our society will become. And so then, in this program, we have an even greater concern. It is our sincere hope and prayer that each of you listening today who has casually accepted lying as a way of life will truly see falsification and deception for the very serious sin which it is. And then, as you consider the entire subject of lying and your involvement in it, we pray that you will look neither to the right nor to the left in an effort to see the sins of neighbors and friends. Rather, do like the repentant sinner Jesus spoke about in one of his parables. This man said, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And so when it comes to the subject of lying and deception, all of us would like to present ourselves as individuals who are quite above this transgression. For example, when the policeman stops us, instead of admitting we were speeding, we immediately often say, "But officer, I was just going with the traffic. Everyone else was driving as fast as I was. Why did you stop me?" Or we are late for work or an appointment, and guess which lie is used more than any other? Yes, you guessed it. The car would not start. Now, my friend, if every lie ever told about non-starting cars were true, the U.S. and Canada would be one big wasteland of non-starting cars. Or sometimes we go to a restaurant. The food is disappointing, and as we pay our bill, the cashier asks, "Was everything okay?" And we respond by saying, "Oh, yes, everything was excellent, thank you." Or we as a student go to school. The teacher asks for our homework, but we say, "Oh, it was lost in the computer." Or our best friend buys a new dress or a new coat, which we quite honestly feel is quite ugly, but she asks for our honest opinion. "How does it look?" she asks. "Oh," we respond, "lovely, absolutely lovely." Now, of course, there are many, many more examples that we could give, and as you listen today, you perhaps could also list many, many more of these so-called white lies. And it is not so much that people deceive and lie to others. The alarming thing is that we do it so casually and comfortably, even though lying is one of the sins which God hates most. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if a lecture or a sermon could so arouse individuals or even the entire public regarding the seriousness of lying. And it would be great if the public in turn would become so concerned that a great change would take place. But this, my friend, is wishful thinking. You know that, and I know that. When confronted with the dangers and damage of lying, the public often does respond, but only for a little while. For example, Jody Powell, the former press secretary under President Carter, said that after Watergate, telling the truth became more important. But this lasted only a little while. Now, he said, people don't pay much attention to lying anymore. The only hope for society is in the response of individuals. You and I must see our sin, and then we must recognize that the only power able to break the sinful habit of lying, which now grips our life, is faith in the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, with his innocent blood, Jesus paid the price for the curse of all your sins, including your sins of lying. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he burst the grip the devil desires to clamp upon your heart in order to lead you to to lie and to deceive others comfortably and casually. My dear friend, decide now, yes, decide now in agreement with God and His holy word, that lying is a very, very serious sin. And then believe also that through the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can burst the grip that Satan has upon you each time you lie. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. Believe in His bloody sin-cleansing death. Believe in Jesus and His glorious, life-giving resurrection. Oh, yes, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall not be held captive to the devil's destructive power of lying. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.